As thousands of children have come to the U.S.-Mexico border seeking asylum in recent years, the U.S. government has housed many of them in detention camps that can look like tent cities. The detention camp set up in Tornillo, Texas, was for a time the largest for unaccompanied children in the U.S., housing 2,800 children at its height. Tornillo was opened in the summer of 2018, but due to mounting pressure from activists, the company that ran it decided to shut it down earlier this year. And while the children were being held there, they were asked to do an art project. They were given 4 days to create art that reflected their homelands and their memories of where they came from. When the facility shut down, University of Texas El Paso history professor Yolanda Leyva took much of that art and has put it on display. The exhibition is called Uncaged Art, Tornillo Children's Detention Camp, and it's part of the Museo Urbano, a roving museum without walls that she co-founded. I spoke with her more about it, and she began by telling me how she came about getting the artwork to begin with.
It was totally a temporary tent city in the middle of cotton fields. They had to bring in water, they had porta potties, they had tents where the kids would live, where they would eat, where they would take classes. So as they were dismantling this huge tent city, a priest that I've been working with for quite a long time by the name of Father Rafael Garcia from Sacred Heart Church here in El Paso called me. And what he said was that he had been giving mass at the detention center. And he saw this beautiful artwork. And they were going to throw it away. And did I want it? So not even really knowing what he meant by artwork, I said, of course. Because I knew that this was one of the few expressions of the children that we would have. Tornillo, like the other detention camps, is very, very secretive. Visitors are not allowed. The children can't talk to anybody outside. They have 10 minutes a week to speak to their families. The employees sign non-disclosure agreements. So it's almost impossible to know what life is like in the camps or what the kids are going through. So because of this secrecy, I knew that the artwork was going to be important for people to see.
Wow. So describe some of it for us. Like what kinds of pieces of art did you get when he connected you with these?
So Father Garcia called me on a Sunday. By the next Tuesday, a van from Baptist Child and Family Services was in the parking lot of my building, unloading 29 pieces of art, and it ranged from pencil drawings to paintings, two dresses, and then various models made out of recycled boxes. And it was beautiful. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. What was coming out of that van was full of color, it was full of life. And also what struck me was that the kids had a lot of talent. And this wasn't coming out of an art class, so they didn't have any formal education about how to paint. It was coming out of the talent that they were already bringing.
I'm looking at some of the pictures of some of the art now, and it is like it's vibrant and it's intricate in some cases. I know one of the things that you wanted to look at when you agreed to take this work was like if this had similarities to other work like this, other work by children who have been held in captivity. Did it? What kinds of themes were you able to find?
So we did compare it, for example, to some of the art from the Japanese internment camps, to the art at Terezin, the concentration camp. And one thing that we saw in all these camps was that there were birds and there were butterflies. And to us, this represented a sense of freedom. The kids in the detention camp were heavily guarded, heavily monitored. They were never, ever by themselves. They always had a staff member with them, even to go to the restroom. They had to march in lines of 12, and they were told to march perfectly straight. Everything was very militarized. So when this art came out of that van and it was filled with birds, it struck me as that wanting to be free, that wanting not to be behind the barbed wire.
And that barbed wire has become part of how you show the work, right, in this exhibit for this museum without walls that you founded.
Exactly. We thought it was really important to think about the concepts of inside and outside. So we've created a tent-like structure with bunk beds in it so that people can feel what it was like to be inside of a tent. And then the art itself is displayed outside of the tent, but part of it is behind barbed wire. And we were really fortunate on April 13th when the exhibit opened that we were able to bring a young man who had been at Tornillo for 2.5 months and to show him the exhibit. And when he saw the barbed wire, he put his hands on the chain link fence part of it and he said, yes, this is what it felt like.
You talked about some of the themes, some of the symbols that show up in this work from these children. What do you think they were trying to communicate here?
I know that this is an expression of the kids, but also it was, you know, somewhat constrained by the instructions of the teachers. But as I look at it, the art, and it definitely does what the teachers asked. It reflects the nations that they came from. So there's a lot of quetzales that are the national bird of Guatemala, and about a third of the kids were from Guatemala. There is one very beautiful piece that says the languages of Charlie One, and Charlie was one of the barracks where they lived because the barracks had both the military alphabet and a number attached. And everything is in English and Spanish and then one of the Mayan languages. Hmm. You see that the children are not only showing places back home, but they're creating scenery that shows the opposite of the conditions they're living in. So while they're living in tents, highly regimented, the art is showing the soccer field, and that is one of my favorites, because the kids in Tornillo played soccer almost every day, and it was the one time that they could be free, that they weren't walking in these militarized lines of 12 kids. So the soccer field is not the soccer field at Tornillo. It's a soccer field with spectators. It's a soccer field back home. It's surrounded by little red flowers. So the kids are creating scenes that are the opposite of what they're experiencing. And to me, that was a very powerful message.
Where are these kids now? The camp is closed, or were they released?
So out of the 2,800 kids that were there at the end, 2,500 went to their sponsors, and 300 were sent to other camps.
All right. Yolanda Leyva, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.